This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
Here we go. Tyler from Dude Perfect here. Big news. We just dropped our very own Dude Perfect smoothie with Smoothie King.
We is strong. It's my recipe.
Technically, we all came up with it, Kobe.
I mean, you put a potato in yours.
I was experimenting.
Yeah, we picked up on that. Guys, this is fruit smoothie perfection. I even heard it recently quoted that it was food perfect.
Yeah, I was the one that said that.
Oh, that was funny. Oh, punny.
Thank you.
Anyways, get the Dude Perfect smoothie only at Smoothie King. My smoothie.
Are you interested in owning a short-term rental? Analyze easier, invest wiser, and list smarter with AirDNA by your side. The trusted advisor for hosting and investing. Launch your journey at airdna.co today.
The Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the Tour B-Ball today by the club at Sea Palms, by RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community, by Club Car, the leader in sport utility and personal vehicles, and by CJ's Italian Restaurant, the best of the deep dish pizzas and thin crusts. It's got to be CJ's. Check out their full menu at CJsItalianRestaurant.com. On the show, we're going to talk with Golf News Net's founder, Ryan Ballingy, about his company and what's in the future, plus what he thought about the PGA Commissioner's news conference at the Players. Then we'll talk with TrackMan's Harrison Shee about how he works with the PGA Tour players. And recently he did a lot of work with Xander Schauffele, plus PGA Master professional Ray Cutright, who worked with Davis Love's dad. We'll talk about getting back to the basics on your golf swing. And with that, let's talk with Golf News Net's Ryan Ballingy. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Rich, how are you?
I'm good. So what are your immediate thoughts about Jay Monahan's news conference at the Players?
I think Jay Monahan finds himself in a very difficult position as the PGA Tour commissioner, and he's been in a difficult position for 2 years running now, right?
Yeah.
Where there is a rogue golf league that threatens his job, that threatens the people that he represents, that threatens the tour that they've created's existence. And he's forged this kind of uneasy armistice with them, if you can call it that. But he has to still kind of answer to his charges, even if what he ultimately wants and seemingly negotiated for isn't what they want. And at this point in time, there are so many competing points of view on the PGA Tour among players and sponsors and other stakeholders that I think he finds himself not in a no-win situation, but close to it, something similar to it. And so then he goes and sits in front of the media. And I think he views that news conference ahead of the Players, his state of the tour, so to speak, as one, a way to defend himself publicly, because he doesn't speak in public very often.
Right.
But also to try to put on a good face for the public that things are fine, things are moving along. There's confidence in him. There's confidence in what they're doing, their approach to these negotiations with the Saudis. And it leads to a kind of tense atmosphere where Monahan isn't really sure whether to be cordial or defensive. And at times he's both, even in the same answer. It doesn't really make him look great, but he has to do it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, he's kind of been, you know, absent. I mean, he's not been holding many news conferences. He always does it at the Players. And, you know, there's a lot of people that think he should step down. But even during his news conference, you know, he said, I have the full support of the board and I am the right person to lead this tour forward.
And I guess by default, that's kind of true, because who else would be the commissioner? Who else would lead this moving forward? I don't know that there's a clear answer to that. And I don't think you can have an interim commissioner in this point in time. You kind of have to live with what you have. And that may result ultimately in a new commissioner coming along eventually. It might not. But the advantage Jay Monahan has, besides incumbency, is that he has a longstanding relationship with the investor group that he ultimately engineered the choosing of. Yeah, in Fenway Sports Group and Strategic Sports Group.
Yeah.
And that's going to give him likely political clout and job security for years to come, because ultimately the people who are invested in the PGA Tour with billions of dollars to this point are his buddies. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to get fired by your friends. It doesn't happen too easily.
Yeah.
So I think Monahan has engineered for himself a fair amount of job security, even if his charges and even the people he looks at in the boardroom of the PGA Tour board are dubious about whether he can do this job to completion.
Yeah, and his friends of the SSG are now going to be on that board. And obviously they want him to remain as the commissioner. So it looks like he is set for a while.
Yeah, I think he has shielded himself pretty well. There were a great number, I mean, close to 10 different potential suitors to invest in the PGA Tour, and Strategic Sports Group, led by Fenway Sports Group, just happened to be one of them. But I don't think that they were necessarily the unanimous first choice for that investment opportunity. But for whatever reason, however it worked out, politics or otherwise, cajoling, whatever it was, they got Strategic Sports Group. And that doesn't mean there can't be other investors of that initial group that put in bids and made proposals to come along. But at least right now, I think Monahan's goal is to take the Strategic Sports Group money, try to find a way to take the Saudi money, make it all kind of seem like the Saudis don't have much say, even though they've got a sizable investment in the tour, make it so that it can pass muster for the Department of Justice, and then just kind of accept that the Saudis are part of it and hope that at the end, the agreement leads to the end of a breakaway tour, as Orris Monahan foolishly said, taking a competitor off the board.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth on that. I mean, especially when you think about the golf fan, I think the golf fans have been torn between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, because the LIV Tour, according to LIV, have all the great players, the name players like Rahm and so on. But, you know, the TV viewership does not support that.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are bad. And even in a situation this year where there's clear acrimony in the PGA Tour, there's clear distrust of the product. People aren't watching it at nearly the same clip. I mean, we have days where the audience is down 20, 30, 40, 50% year over year, tournament over tournament. But those people aren't going to LIV. They're just not watching golf.
Right.
And I think on one hand, that gives some factions of the PGA Tour's membership the encouragement they need to not make a deal with the Saudis, because they believe the Saudi money is tainted, and with good reason. And they also believe that the product they would be giving up a piece of their equity for isn't worth it and won't ever make money and won't ever be beloved. And if it won't ever be accepted, ultimately the Saudis will just give up and fold. And you can get them out of the process just by waiting them out. And then there's the other faction that says, if we do the deal now, we can unify everything. We can get everything back the way that it was, even though I strongly believe that not to be the case.
Right.
And we can take the money today and go forward and do stuff with it. I don't know what camp is winning, I get the sense that it is the anti-Saudi camp that's been winning, but we'll see after whatever info we get comes out of the meeting that's happening or has happened between the Saudis, the public investment fund, Yasser Al-Rumayyan, and the PGA Tour Enterprises board in the Bahamas, and whether that indicates some positive momentum toward a deal or stalemate or even a rolling back of the situation.
Yeah. Do you think the golf fan has been, I'm not sure the right word, hurt is not the word, but fractionalized as a sense of, you know, watching a PGA Tour event, not knowing a lot of the names, although that was different this week with the players. But do you think the golf fan's been hurt by this?
I think those things, the winners that we had, I mean, we didn't have a guy that won below 40-1 odds until the Cognizant Classic. I mean, that's 10 weeks of tournaments. That's crazy. That doesn't happen very often. So that's a weird set of circumstances. But I do think those things, those winners could have come along, whether John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, you know, name your live player, were playing on the PGA Tour still. Those things still could have happened.
Yeah.
And I don't think, had it all just been one tour, people would go, oh, the product is terrible because the live guys aren't there to go beat Matthew Pavon and Jake Knapp. No offense to those guys. They're great players. But I don't get the sense that the fan has been hurt specifically by the outcome so far this season, but I do get the sense that they feel hurt by the acrimony, by the greed of the players, not only the players who took the live money, but the ones who are now playing in limited field events and the signature tournaments, and they're playing for $3.6 million, $4 million, $4.5 million for first place, and that just seems like an outsized amount of money compared to what they were playing for just a few years ago.
Right.
And once you've turned off a fan, it's really hard to get them back. You need to do something special. Someone special needs to come along. And I don't want to put that on the shoulders of Scottie Scheffler, but right now he's probably the only person that can bring people back to the game of golf as fans.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's pretty had a pretty good streak here lately. What do you think, Ryan, it's going to take for the LIV players to, if it even happens, to get back to the PGA Tour? They're probably not going to be well received by the PGA Tour players unless the PGA Tour players are given some kind of compensation. But what is a fair compensation for the PGA Tour players that stayed and didn't go to live for the money?
That's the multi-billion-dollar question, isn't it? What will make a deal? What is a just punishment? What is a just, reparation is the wrong word, but that's kind of what they're angling for, to get back players from LIV to play on the PGA Tour. And I think my first question is, do the LIV players want to come back at all? Because if part of the deal is LIV continues to exist, I think many of the players who went to LIV would be happy just playing the LIV events, and they wouldn't play but one or two or three PGA Tour events, maybe the FedEx Cup if they were somehow eligible for that. Phil Mickelson isn't going to come back and play a 25 event schedule on the PGA Tour. I don't think he would feel welcome, for one, but two, he's almost in his mid-50s. He doesn't have any interest in doing that anymore. Yeah. Dustin Johnson has proven his point. He's won more than 20 times. He has lifetime membership on the PGA Tour. If and when he comes back, he can pick whatever he wants to do and whenever he wants to play, and he will probably have access. So I think Webb Simpson put it really well a few weeks ago, I believe, to Golf Week, and said, we're really talking about six guys on LIV that could conceptually come back, either because they have recently won majors in the last 5 years, they have a lifetime membership like Phil and DJ, or they've won a tournament in the last couple of years. That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, every other player on LIV would have to earn their way back to the PGA Tour, just like anybody else off the street. And I think that's probably the right way to approach it, and then to swallow their pride and say, look, if you had status, if you're a major winner or you're a lifetime exemption holder, then you can come back. Everybody else, if you're not exempt in some way, the line forms a Q school behind the next guy. We'll see you there.
Or stay where you are and let's not talk again. All right. Before we end this interview, I want to talk about Golf Newsnet. Tell us about the idea that's now up and running. I mean, you've really succeeded with this idea that you had a few years ago.
I appreciate that. Yeah, Golf Newsnet is it's been around a while. It's been a work in progress, and we've had a website delivering golf news for it'd be 7 years running it as my sole job this June at the U.S. Open. So that's a great thing to celebrate. But we've come along with the radio station GNN Radio. It's available through iHeartRadio, their apps, website, mobile apps in your car, Bluetooth, smart speakers, tune in. That started in October 2022, and our first year went very, very well. Year-over-year results are even better. We've doubled our audience, at least compared to those months that we have comparisons for. And then in just a few months' time, we're going to have Golf Newsnet Television. That'll come along as a 24/7 streaming TV channel that'll be available on streaming platforms like Pluto TV and Fubo and Flex and Sling and a bunch of others. And we'll have 24/7 programming dedicated to covering the breadth of the game. So we'll have talk shows that keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of golf during the day. In the evenings, we'll have television produced shows that will be covering a wide gamut of topics that relate to your game, whether that's travel or instruction or equipment, business of golf, golf betting, and golf fantasy. We'll have rights to air live tournaments from a variety of different tours from around the world, and we'll air current and older tournaments from a number of other tours as well. So it'll be a really compelling package, and it'll be free to access, just like everything that that we do on the radio and TV side. And hopefully it'll kind of capture people's attention and imagination and their energy for the game, because there is so much energy right now around golf. Yeah. And the recreational side of the game, for all that's happening in pro golf, that it makes people mad. Regular golf, people, participatory golf, recreational golf is in such a great state right now. And there's not a whole lot of programming, certainly nationwide, that talks to those people, those 26, 30 million people that love playing golf. And that's going to be our mission with Golf Newsnet TV.
And Back Nine Boys is available on Golf Newsnet. I think that's great. I appreciate you doing that.
Well, it's my pleasure. You do a great job with your show. You have so many great guests, and I'm just happy to be one of them.
Well, you are one of them, and you are a special one. Thanks, Ryan, for being with us. I appreciate your time, your thoughts, and what you're doing with Golf Newsnet. Best.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Rich.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Jones IV. I'm the grandson of Bobby Jones, a clinical sports psychologist, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with Harrison Shee, former great golfer, Thank you. With TrackMan. Yep. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Happy to be back.
So what are you doing with TrackMan? You just said you were on the road about 40 weeks out of the year. Yep. What are you doing?
So I am TrackMan's manager of their U.S. tours and all elite player engagements. And so my job is I travel mainly with the PGA Tour as their manager out there. I'm player facing, and so I'm helping all the players, supporting, educating, consulting their needs and stuff with their TrackMans. And then I travel, like you said, 40 weeks of the year approximately. Mm-hmm. Mostly, like I said, PGA Tour. I do help with LPGA Tour, college golf as well, Korn Ferry occasionally, and then big majors like the USAM and US Junior will have a presence there. So I cover, like I said, everybody from, you know, the top players in the game on the PGA Tour all the way down to the top juniors, really.
All right. You were just talking to one of the instructors here at the Performance Center. You were talking about Xander Schauffele that you were with this week, and you were just amazed at some of the numbers. Tell me some of the numbers.
Yeah, so Xander, he's really hitting it nicely. It's fun to watch in person as much as it is on TV. And Xander's, put in a lot of work over the offseason.
Something amazing is happening in meteorology. Climate researchers are successfully processing a data storm. That's because CDW transformed their laptop devices and infrastructure to pre-configured Lenovo ThinkPads and powerful edge-to-cloud solutions. By delivering faster insights to run more accurate forecast models, it's almost like they're controlling the weather themselves. Lenovo and CDW. Make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com/LenovoClient.
Was in the gym a lot. Spent some time trying to, you know, get a little bit stronger, and his ball speed has reflected it. I've now worked with him for about a full year, and I've watched his ball speed go from 178, 179 when he was really moving it last year to now this year, he can get it up to about 186, 187 if he absolutely, you know, really gets a hold of it. So, you know, ball speed differences like that at the highest level when you're already the sixth ranked player in the world, those gains are, you know, so hard to find, and for and to be able to do it at that level is really impressive, and I think it's reflected in his ball striking stats. And obviously, you know, we're talking here Players Week. He's gotten off to a good start here on Thursday, so yeah.
So ball speed, really, from what you just said, he got stronger, yep, which helped increase his ball speed.
Correct. Yeah, it really, you know, people always want to talk about, oh, club head speed, and this guy's a 125 mile an hour club head speed guy, but ultimately, really, what you're trying to produce is a faster ball speed. That's how far, you know, that's ultimately the better indicator of how far the golf ball is going to go. Because if you don't have an efficient strike on the golf ball, doesn't matter how fast you swing it. I mean, it could, you know, you could swing at 125 miles an hour and only hit it 270, really. So obviously, you know, it's centered contact in the center of the face is ultimately always still going to be king in this game. And so he's found ways to hit it further by obviously swinging it faster, which he is, but ultimately hitting it just that much more solid out of the middle, which has ultimately led to further distances.
Speaking of Xander, you said you walk with him, or you are with him,
yep,
not every single week, but many weeks, yep, and you're going through nine holes with him. What are you doing with him?
So I'll walk a nine-hole practice round with him.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And what he's trying to do is, obviously, every single week we are playing in different climates, different elevations, different grass types, right? West Coast, we've got a lot of Poe bent combos out there. We're in the middle of the Florida swing right now, so a lot of Bermuda. And all of the even grass changes and the heat differences make a difference on how far he's going to hit it. Spin rates will change based off of different turf interactions with Bermuda versus bent. And so when I walk with him, him and his caddy, Austin Kaiser, do a really good job of communicating with each other, you know, the subtle differences that they face week in and week out. And so when I walk with him, I'll bring a TrackMan out. We have an awesome new feature called Instant Ready, where the Wi-Fi doesn't shut off. We've got a nice new carrying sleeve out on tour right now that makes it a little bit easier to carry around. And so when I walk with him, I'll set it up on the tee box on the golf course, in the fairways as well. And then what we're trying to do really is we're trying to figure out if the different temperature of the different grass is changing, if how far he's really able to hit it. So for Xander, if a stock 8-iron right now is about 170 yards, is it flying 175 like it was last week in Orlando when it was really hot? Or is maybe the Bermuda grass maybe causing some spin rates to kind of change a little bit that are also going to be affecting how far the golf ball goes? Because at that level, you know, the difference in 2 or 3 yards can really mean the difference between being pin high and having, you know, 5-6 feet for birdie, or being 2 steps off the green and trying to, you know, scramble for par.
And they don't want about numbers. Yep. They want exact numbers.
Correct. Yeah. So a good example this week, we walked on Tuesday, the back nine at TPC Sawgrass, and the wind was crossing on a lot of holes. And so when that happens, obviously, for example, let's say the wind is out of the right, Xander's a right-handed golfer. If he rides a draw and makes the same swing, it's going to go a little bit further as if he were to hold a cut into that wind. And so in the preparation phase, it's a practice round for Xander, but it's as much preparation for Austin Kaiser, his caddy, in trying to determine, you know, it ultimately is trying to hone his feels. If he tells Xander, you know, on Tuesday afternoon in the practice round that, hey, this is going to help 7 yards in the if you ride this wind, for example, TrackMan has the ability to tell both the normalized number and the actual number. And that's one area where we separate ourselves from a competitor, from other competing companies out there in launch monitors. And so we're able to figure out, was Austin correct in his prediction in saying, hey, it's going to help 7 yards, or is it possibly if they went to a different shot shape, is it going to hurt, X amount? And so it's as much fine tuning for Austin as it is, for the caddy, as it is for the player as well.
You're pulled. You've got to be pulled in a lot of different directions, yep, working with all these tours.
Yep.
So how do you make a decision between going to the PGA Tour, to the LPGA, to the Korn Ferry, based on being out for 40 weeks?
Yeah, so my main responsibility is the PGA Tour.
Okay.
We have an awesome team. Lance Vinson is our tour department director, and we mainly handle the PGA Tour together. We've got an awesome team, like I said, of about seven total guys on the team, guys and girls, on the team that cover everything. Because we know, obviously, week to week, there's multiple tours running. There's PGA Tour. Korn Ferry is about to start back up here in the United States, here in Savannah, in 2-3 weeks' time, right? So we do have the manpower and resources to make sure that we're covering all of our TrackMan clients all around, across the various tours, if you will.
And how far in advance do you have to plan your schedule based on all the people that are wanting to be with you?
Yeah, so I mean, the schedule planning started back in November of last year. And so we're doing this months in advance. We're starting to make preparations for who's going to be at the U.S. Women's Open, U.S. Open, Scottish Open in July, back-to-back weeks with the British Open, or the Open Championship, And so, planning for stuff like this and making sure that we've got all our bases covered. SEC Championship is going to be right here at Sea Island in a couple of weeks. And so we're really trying to make sure strategically what the best what makes the most sense from a travel perspective, who's closest to what event and who needs to possibly move around to a different tour, really based off of geography.
All right. You've been working this for a little over a year.
Yep.
And you've worked with a lot of different golfers.
Yep.
Here we are at the Players. The Masters is coming up. Yep. Then some other majors are coming up. From what you've seen on TrackMan with the people that you've been working with,
yep,
who do you think is really, really tracking very, very well?
Yeah. Obviously, your mind immediately goes to Scottie Scheffler. It's really impressive watching him hit balls on the range. Fortunate enough to walk some practice rounds with him most recently at Riviera. For the Genesis, he plays a lot of practice rounds with Sam Burns. He's another guy that really is really impressive. But they're, I think one thing that really sticks out to me when I'm up close with them is their distance control and their ability to judge lies judge wins, and their distance control. I mean, a lot of good content out there. You can see it on other channels about Scotty hitting balls and calling his yardage to within. Shoot, sometimes it's right on the number.
Really?
Right, yeah, with three wood, he might say it's 272, and TrackMan has it right at 272, and it's really impressive, his hands. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Xander. I think he's trending in the right direction with his game. And so it'll be interesting. It really is fun to watch a lot of these guys go through their process day in and day out and try to ultimately be ready to go Thursday of every single week.
So at the Players,
yep,
this week,
yep,
I always get asked, who do you think's going to win? Well, you could name 20 or 25 guys,
yep,
who could be in contention and have one of those unbelievable weeks,
yep,
where they could win. Scotty's obviously, like Tiger was,
yep,
is almost a favorite every week.
Yeah, he's really, last week seems to have figured something out with his putting. Would be really cool to see him go on one of these stretches that of dominance, maybe of the old Tiger, right? And but I mean, it's also really hard to, when you're there, I think you get a better appreciation for maybe what Tiger was able to do week in and week out in his heyday.
Right.
I think that's something that maybe goes overlooked. I think Xander right now has the longest active consecutive made cut streaks at, I believe, 41. And he was, you know, joking. He got asked about it, I know, on Tuesday at his presser, and he was like, oh, here comes the commentator's curse, and he's off to a great start here at the Players. But Tiger, I think, is in the 140s or maybe 160s, right?
He's got a little ways to go.
He's got a little ways to go, and it's one of those secretariat-type stats that might not ever be broken. But the consistency day in and day out is really – week in and week out, is really impressive to watch. But also gives context to really how good Tiger was when he was playing playing full time.
All right, we've been sitting here. Your phone's been buzzing with texts and stuff, and you just said Lydia Ko just sent you a text. Yeah. Are you going to get up with her soon?
Yeah, so I spent time with her. She's she actually just bought her TrackMan a couple of last September. Obviously, you know, she's one win away from the Hall of Fame, so we're all pulling for her to get over that that 30 win mark to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. She's an incredible golfer. She's even nicer than she is as good of a golfer as she is, which is really really you know, awesome to be around. She's very easy to be around, but problems do arise. Obviously, you know, with as much travel as we do, inevitably you're going to accidentally drop your unit, and so that's part of my job is to make sure that when mistakes happen like that, that I can coordinate getting her a replacement unit while hers is getting fixed, or stuff like that. So the trust and relationship that I've fortunately been able to develop with these players across, you know, all the tours really has really been something that I don't take for granted doing this now for a little over a year.
It's kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, you know, you've had your opportunity.
Yep.
Maybe not your only one, but you've had an opportunity to try and make it on the tour.
Yep.
And I know you're amazed at what some of these guys and ladies can do every now and then. Is TrackMan useful for a amateur golfer, seriously?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think TrackMan, you know, has gotten a stigma in the past of being the technical crutch, if you will.
Okay.
You know, you're trying to find your golf swing, or everybody likes to say that they're a feel player, and TrackMan's too technical for them, right? I mean, how many times do you hear that across?
Right.
Whether you're a top player in the world or you're an aspiring, you know, club champion, whatever it might be, I think TrackMan really has. We've made some nice changes to our software and firmwares, and some updates that we've been able to do to where it's a little bit more performance based, and not so let's dive into the numbers. I think one really cool feature that a lot of the players have really gotten along well with is our new performance center. People might remember it as the Combine, but TrackMan Golf Pro, which is a new app in the App Store.
Are you a short-term rental host or investor looking to level up your game? Meet AirDNA, your trusted advisor in the vacation rental industry. With AirDNA, you'll gain a competitive edge. We provide insights that help you make smarter decisions, adjust prices at the right time, add those winning amenities, and discover your next real estate investment hotspot. We're more than just data. We're your entrepreneurial launchpad. Visit us at airdna.co to get started today.
Obviously free to download. The Performance Center is really fun, and it's a little bit more visual when you have it on your iPad. It's now also in our TPS if you're in an indoor studio. But the green will pop up, a virtual green will pop up on the screen, and the flags will change. So, you know, guys will be looking at their stats week over week, let's say, and just using the PGA Tour as an example. And let's say you're a drawer of the golf ball.
I'm not.
But yeah, but if you, let's say, are really proficient in back left flags, but you struggle, you know, hitting it close to back right flags, we can write these custom tests in Performance Center to where you can only work in back right flags and see what your score is in a strokes gained scoring model. And again, as it relates to the club golfer or just the amateur at the amateur level, I think if you can find time, obviously we can. There's indoor simulators, a facility like Sea Island here with the instructors and the access that they have to all the units here. You know, spending time on one, even if it's as simple as without even going into the Performance Center stuff and trying to dial that stuff. Even if it's as simple as, hey, let me get on one and see how far I really hit my 7-iron or really how far my 9-iron goes.
Right.
I think it can really add some useful context to your game without getting too bogged down and feeling like it's too technical and overwhelming.
You just described my golf game, bogged down. Yeah. Harrison, yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Rich. Really appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Ed Ibargwin, PGA Master Professional at Duke University Golf Club. And you are listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf with Rich Stiles.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with PGA Golf Master Professional Ray Cutright. And Ray, most golfers, do they really know what they're doing wrong when they come to you for a lesson?
Well, I'm sure they've been told what they've done wrong. So they have a pretty good idea. And, you know, with all the that's out there, YouTube or whatever, it's pretty easy to at least think you can find out what you're doing wrong. But I don't get very many people to say, what do I need to do right to get better?
Very good point.
You know, that's where I go. I don't get into that. I'm a positive person. I'm focused on how can I get this person hitting the golf ball solid the fastest way? And then I just keep delivering it over and over again in different ways. I put them in situations too. I teach a lot on the golf course and put them in situations where they have to be able to do what I'm telling them well. I think that's part of it. I think we are so geared toward gathering as much information as we can that we don't know how to sift it out. Most people that play golf, they kind of wave at the golf ball. They don't hit the golf ball.
Right.
So that's where I go. I go with impact, and I work back.
Now, when you are working with a student and they're impacting some clubs and not impacting others, how do you get them to take the impact they're doing on certain clubs and hit the others better?
Well, you know, that golf ball doesn't know what you're hitting, has no idea what you're hitting. Okay,
valid point.
We teach them, if you go to the Masters and you watch them on a practice tee, doesn't matter who it is, except for Bernhard Langer, he hits everything well. But anything they practice, any field type things, they do it with short clubs. And so that's where we start, and we mix in the drivers and whatever. But what happens is length is what bothers people in the golf swing. It's really not weight, it's length. The longer the club, the more the arms want to wander from the body.
Hmm.
And usually they wander to the right. Okay?
Okay.
So that's just a Ray Cutright thing. So just what I've learned over a period of 50 years. So, you know, I teach them swing motion and drills, which they hate drills. It's like anything else, fitness, whatever. All my fitness programs need to be 15 minutes or less. I think that's really important, especially with kids. But, you know, you teach them that the trunk directs everything. The hands and arms deliver the message. And, you know, once again, we try to get them in sync and on a path. And it's a lot easier to do it with an 8-iron than it is with a driver. But we eventually have to mix into longer clubs. But, you know, you're going to know, I know when I can actually give them a driver and actually get some decent results. It's all about results. It's like I told you, we talked earlier, and we talked about when people come for a golf lesson, if they have a great ball striking lesson, they've learned a ton. They can't tell you what they learned, but they've learned a ton. And so the next day, they can't repeat it. So, you know, I'm real big on, hey, we start here. It's kind of like paint by numbers.
Right.
And when I struggle, I go back to my paint by numbers. And then when I really struggle, I send Ray a text and say, I am struggling and I am unhappy. And I can help him a lot, maybe with a video. So usually, as you know, Davis's dad taught us all, there's four fundamentals: grip, posture, alignment, ball position. And he always felt like everything that ever went wrong stemmed from there. And if you think about it, a lot of it's true. So that's where I go. I just keep making more games and more challenges and trying to get them to repeat so when they get on the golf course, they can and have fun.
All right. I asked you earlier, I said, it seems to me that there's so many things you have to do right to hit a good shot and so few things you have to do wrong to hit a bad shot. And your answer was?
Well, I can't even remember what I told you.
You said no. You don't agree.
No, I don't. Here's the deal. Here's what you have to remember. you can, I walk down the range on Saturday morning and watch people. I can tell just by the way they set up the golf ball whether they're going to be successful or not. It goes back to grip, posture, alignment, ball position. And those are all static positions. You don't have to swing the golf club. And people struggle with that. Well, right off the bat, how many times have they hit a solid golf shot but it's crooked because they aim poorly or the ball position is poorly?
Right.
So really, when you come down to it, that's where you have to start. They've got to do that well. I mean, it's like I told you, I teach a lot of juniors and they're far away. So they send me videos all the time. And it's silly little things like your posture's great, but you're too close to the golf ball. You can hit 1,000 balls in and you're going to hit them all over the place.
Right.
So it's simple things. And you, even though a golfer usually doesn't play golf for a living, they're pretty serious about it. It influences their life and their attitude.
Right.
So little things, and that's what Davis would always tell us, you know, these four things, you know, it happened, you know, it can make a big difference in your life. And you're going to see a lot of people that are unorthodox, but they repeat that path and they get the club back on to the ball on a good path and they learn motion and they get strong. They let their trunk direct everything. And it's just kind of like when girls, when they hit a tennis ball on TV and they grunt because they feel that tension in their torso, rotating the hips, rotating everything,
right.
You know, creating resistance. Like Patty Berg used to say, you know, resistance for distance. And that's what we try to teach them right off the bat. Because most golfers are wavers. They wave at the ball. They're so worried about what their arms look like and the position they're in. Well, you know, you're 3 inches flat. Well, are you getting back to the ball consistently well and hitting it well? Yes, okay. Tiger won a lot of golf tournaments with like 7 different backswings. But he looked the same at impact every time. So...
interesting point. So when you work with somebody, you're going to work with them on the shorter clubs rather than the longer clubs and help them improve their impact and their confidence with that. Take them out to the course. Course management becomes an issue then as well, doesn't it?
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's just like I teach a lot of pretty good junior players and some pretty good college players. And it's always, they're 100 yards in. That's what kills them. You know, but I think, you know, the big thing is that they get in a routine that they understand. So when they struggle, they can get back to a starting point. And that's the biggest problem I see with everybody that plays golf. You know, I tried this today and it worked great. Well, did you try what we worked on today or did you try more stuff?
Right.
And so the clutter becomes ridiculous. And so, and you've done it, I've done it. You get on the golf course. You stand over the ball and you go, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be thinking about. I'm so lost and embarrassed and struggling that I can't remember what I'm supposed to do. So it is a feel thing. It's like anything else. It's like a person learned how to walk. You have to go back to the basics all the time so you can get the golf club on a path that you can repeat the golf shots.
And how many times have you heard a student come in and say, oh, man, I played great yesterday. I think I figured out some things. And then they go out and play either this, you know, today or the next day. And it's like everything goes to pot and they're 10 or 15 shots worse than they were from the day before.
Well, what happens is, as you know, it's very mental. So, again, I try to tell them all the time, I said, you know, you play with your friends, you play in front of people. Here's what you have to remember. They don't really care how you do. They feel sorry for you, but they don't care how you do.
They care what you do.
And so that takes over.
Right.
And again, you lose your sense of, I call it centeredness, getting back to the center and understanding where you're supposed to start so you can get it back together.
Right.
In fact, that's, you know, that's the most interesting thing is you, even somebody like Davis III will tell you, I love to win golf tournaments. I'm not hitting it well when I have to really think. I think I've heard him say that a long time ago. And that's really important to be able to put it back together. And then again, it always goes back to the putting and chipping, which no one wants to do.
Right.
And so we do it in little pieces because actually putting, I know there's a lot of people teaching putting. I don't teach putting because it's something I hate. And so I can't be good at it if I don't like it.
Right.
So I don't do it.
Right.
But I can get them over the ball. I get their eyes over the ball. And again, it's like a lot of the sport. If you're a good bowler, you know, you're a good tennis player, whatever, you have a feel for aim and direction, and that certainly helps. But, you know, it's a rotation game. You know, it's a rotation on a tilt. You know, you got to get them inside that golf ball, and most of them don't.
All right, let me ask you this question. There's folks who sit back and, you know, they can get off the tee, they can hit their fairway woods, they can hit their rescue clubs. But when they get in that 100 yards, they're either taking a chunk behind the ball. Is that ball position or is that rotation?
That's fear. That's fear.
Okay.
Okay. When they get inside, this is how I teach my students. I said, you know, it's really funny. We think we're really tight for the driver and the longer clubs.
Right.
We actually get tighter as we get closer to the hole.
You are correct.
So what happens is when you're tight, it's like any sport. How well does your body move as you get tighter? It doesn't
move well.
No. Right. I think a lot, you know, what's really funny is we take these wedges that have a lot of loft, and we think we have to help them up in the air, okay? So, you know, I have people, they've got 60-degree wedges, they need a 64-degree wedge. No, you need to learn how to hit the 60. So I think that's the big thing is getting them where they understand what the golf club is supposed to do, like the bottom of the club, the bounce, how to use it. You know, most people, honestly, with short game, they sit back, try to help it up in the air. So they hit a lot of skulls. It's just like a driver. Why does a driver go right? Because if you take 99 out of 100 people on the driving range, when they swing through the ball, they fall back. And the golf club gets shorter that way as you fall back. And so you hit it off the bottom and the club face is open. It's
right.
Just like a wedge. So they have to learn how to hit a wedge to understand what the wedge is supposed to do and how to use the bottom. And also choices. But they're so scared, they're always hitting and swatting at it. So then they stay down, and then they start to hit a fat. So there's a lot of trunk motion. There really isn't any. If you watch Tiger when he was really great, he hit through the ball. His body, he just rotated around his body. That's all he did. And, you know, he could hit it any way he wanted. The ball's not moving. So, again, as you get closer to the target and you start moving laterally one way or the other, it's hard to hit it in the same place every time. And it only takes one skull to ruin your day.
And how hard is it when you're teaching somebody, having them out on the course, and they've had a great couple of holes, and all of a sudden they hit a couple of bad shots, and it gets into their head? What do you tell them at that point to get them back into focus?
Well, I actually just had someone here who came from far away, and we had two great days, and we went on the golf course. We hit a lot of balls, a lot of hours. And younger guy, really strong player, and took him on the golf course, had three great holes, and just like what you said, all of a sudden we started to shank the golf ball. I mean, we're talking about a 4 handicap.
Yeah.
And same old thing, you know. His name's Brian. I said, Brian, let's regroup. Where are you? Let me show you some pictures here. Here was your video on the first hole we played, and here's your video now. What do you see different? He said, I'm way on top of the golf ball now. I said, what you've done is you've gotten flustered and you forgot about your routine and your setup. Let me tell you, you can take lessons from anybody in the world, the best in the world, who I still think is Butch Harmon. And look how simple he is. There's certain things you do them over. And that's the reason I bring that up is because he's not going to change his plan if you start playing bad. He's going to teach you the same way. And he's going to tell you that, hey, you have to regroup here and get it together. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Is your posture good? Is your ball position good? Is your aim good? Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. I'm just hitting it so bad. And so here we are again. And that's really why, you know, you teach someone, then you coach someone. And usually, you know, you're a confidence builder. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to keep them on track and make them understand how simple their situation actually is.
And if they come back to you and say, look, I've had 2 weeks of horrible golf, you're going to take them back to the basics.
I am, or I'm going to take them to someone else. Because I'm going to, you know, when I take someone, my job is to make them better. That's my job. And so, and I'm at a point in my life where, you know, it doesn't hurt my feelings anyway, but if I'm not improving them, it may not, and there's no fault here, but if they're not working at it, that's a problem. But if I'm not getting anywhere with someone, I will say to them, you know, let's go see someone else. Because most of it's focus. I mean, there's no secret. There's no teacher that'll tell you there's a secret. All the great teachers just keep people on track. And they give them confidence and they show them, hey, you can really do this. If you can hit one like this, you can hit 100 like this. And that's really the goal. It's like when we first start someone out, don't keep score. Mm. Count how many good shots you hit this time.
Right.
You know, and all that is just, it's important stuff. You know, if they don't have any confidence, if they're nervous when they get there, they're not going to be happy.
Ray, thank you for your time. I appreciate all the information, including everything you just said. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.
Tote & Co. clothes are designed to make you feel good, inside and out. They only use certified low-impact fabrics and are committed to making the outdoors more accessible for everyone. Shop their newest line at TOADANDCO.com.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.